Hey, hi everyone. Welcome to Choice Podcast, Life and Business in Asia. In this episode, I'll be talking to four amazing entrepreneurs who showed their innovative and sustainable product at Rethink Sustainable Business Forum and Solutions Expo, which took place in October in Hong Kong. These four startup entrepreneurs have completely different products, but what they have in common is that they wanted to create something good for the world and contribute to improving the environment and reduce waste and pollution. Let me introduce them. First, we have Naman Tekriwal, who's 21 years old but already a serial entrepreneur. Together with his co-founders, he created Breer, a food upcycling startup that collects surplus bread and pizza crust to brew premium quality local craft beer. And it's already available at 30 plus stores in Hong Kong. The second entrepreneur is Martin Chu, PhD student, and he's the co-founder of i2cool, which invented passive radiative cooling paint, a novel energy-free and environmentally friendly paint for buildings. The journey started with a goal to invent materials to reduce energy consumption in Hong Kong, and after years of lab research, Martin and his partners were in the past months very busy with the commercial side of the painting products. And they are currently talking with big companies who are interested in their products. The third interview is with Noel and Neil Shi, two brothers who are going to launch their environmentally friendly product in December after 2 years of a road full of challenges. They have invented powder form cleaning solutions from naturally derived ingredients, which is better for the planet and humans. The company, Define Clean, its goals are to reduce carbon footprint, plastic waste, improve hygiene with products that are healthy, budget-friendly, and contribute to the circular economy. After reviewing all of them, I can say that it's all quite revolutionary and inspiring. If this is representing how the next generation is dealing with challenges, then I feel very hopeful for the future. So, let's hear from these great guys. Hey, hi Naman, good to have you here. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much, Choi, for having me. I'm doing good on this Monday morning, but yeah, exams pressure is mounting up. Simultaneously, working on a company as a student is always very difficult, but time management is key. Cutting down on sleep is something which now I passionately do. So doing all of that together, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good as well. Very impressive. So you're studying in and having your own startup. That's amazing. Tell a bit about your company.
My company is called Breer, and that basically means bread plus beer. And essentially, it's a local startup based in Hong Kong. And what we do is that we collect surplus bread, like bread which is wasted in the bakeries of Hong Kong, and the bread which was supposed to go to the landfills, but we procure that bread and we use that bread to make local premium quality craft beer. And Breer as a project started around 2 years ago. So in my first year of university, I got acquainted with the problem of the immense food waste in Hong Kong. And coming from India, where we see food waste as a sin, I definitely thought that there needs to be something which needs to be done for this problem. We registered the company last year in August, and now it's been more than a year for us working on the company and just trying to create an impact in the market.
So you started with seeing a problem that you wanted to solve. How did you approach it? Because there's so much to research in the beginning. You have to find the right product, and then you have to change it into a product that people want. From all the food that gets wasted, why bread? And I assume that going from bread, making beer is the most easy product, maybe?
Yeah, so there's a very interesting story behind it about how we started. So I remember it was in 2019, I think the month was September or October, and our all four co-founders, we wanted to participate in a social entrepreneurship competition, and we were on the lookout for social entrepreneurship. It just so happened that our exams had ended, and we study at HKUST right down in Clearwater Bay in Sai Kung, and there's not much to do in the area. but our exams have ended and we have to go out and celebrate. So we just literally went out to a bakery in Chuncano, and it was like around 8 or 9 p.m. in the night. And we saw that how all the bread which was not used that day was being dumped into a black rubbish bag and was going straight to the landfill, not being reused, not being repurposed, just going straight to the landfill. And that is when we actually saw the scale of this problem. And when we came back home, we did our research for the whole week and we got to know that Hong Kong actually wastes about 3,600 tons of food every day. And around 50% of that is leftover bread. So around 1,600 tons of bread is wasted every day in Hong Kong. And I think it's just because of the culture that if you do not consume bread the day you buy, you probably feel the need to throw it, even though there is no need to throw it and you can consume it on the second day as well. But that just leads to a lot of bread wastage. And this is only from the consumer end. There is a lot of wastage on the producer end as well, because it's very difficult in Hong Kong to predict the supply and the demand of bread, like how much bread will people need. And that is why it always leads to overproduction. And whenever there is overproduction, there is a lot of wastage for these large bakery chains as well. So around 47% of all store disposed food in Hong Kong is actually leftover bread. So the problem was huge and enormous, and we definitely saw the scale of the problem. And I always say this wherever I tell about Breer, as that Breer is a startup which was born out of serendipity, because we saw the problem while we were partying. And then the next week when we were in Lang Kwai Fong enjoying the like official end of our exams, we were just partying, and in a random conversation with a bartender, like the bartender was also a home brewer. And we were just having a conversation with him about beer, and he told us about how bread and beer have the same raw materials and how bread can actually be used to make beer. And that was the Eureka moment. That was when the light bulb went off that, oh, like we saw the problem just last week and now we know a solution which could probably be implemented. And then we did some research and we saw that in Russia, in Egypt, in China, you know, there have been traditional age-old recipes which have used bread to make any sort of alcohol, because bread has the essential ingredient of barley, and then it also has yeast. So if you want to use bread, you can actually use bread for the element of sugar and then use that sugar to make any sort of alcohol. But yes, as you said, that beer is the most easiest form of alcohol which can be created out of bread. So then when we had this Eureka moment, the next 6 months was all about research and development. We became mad scientists, started experimenting in our kitchens, what we can do, how we can do. So I'm a proud YouTube learned brewer. I learned brewing through YouTube and Google. So at the age of 20, I know a lot about brewing now, but all that is because of Google and YouTube. So yeah, it was a lot of research and development, and we learned a lot about how this process works, saw some other companies in the Western part of the world which are doing or using similar concepts, and did some market research, saw whether Hong Kong will be open to a solution like this or not. It actually took us more than 10 months of research and development before we came out with our first pilot product in around, I think, July or August of 2020.
What an amazing story, indeed. Wow. You say we, 10 months of research and development. Who are we?
We are a team of a strong four co-founders. We're led by a woman who's our chief executive officer, Anushka. And it's just a funny story that in Hong Kong, or more importantly in HKUST, every brown person knows every brown person, right? And again, I said, I'll recall the fact that how is a model based on serendipity. So I mentioned about the competition we wanted to participate in. Like out of my curiosity, I just went into participate in the orientation of this competition, where I bumped into like my two other co-founders. Both of them are a year senior to me. Both of them are in their final year right now, while I'm in my third year. But we just hit it off there because brown people just meet better. We already have a sense of understanding. So we hit it off and we were like, okay, we want to work on something together. Mm. And then our last co-founder, Suyash, Anushka and Devansh, were already good friends with Suyash. And then we took Suyash into the team as well, and we made a team of four people, where Anushka is the CEO, I handle all operations, and Devansh handles all marketing, and Soyash handles all finance. And the team of four, like, it helps us a lot because we bring in a complementary set of skills. So Anushka is more of a generalist, like she contributes to almost everything, but like takes charge in more networking and even technology. So like all our website, all of our application, everything is done by Anushka. All operations, all strategy, all business development is taken care by me. And I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've run companies before, and I study business at HKUST as well. So it just makes more sense. For Devansh, he studies marketing, and that is why he takes care of all marketing. And for Soya, she studies economics, and that is why he takes care of all finance. So we have our academic interests and our professional interests, you know, interlinked in a way. And that is why all of us bring this complementary set of skills to the table. And that is why, even if we are a team of four, we have our individual parts cut out, and that is why we are a well-functioning machine in the team.
But that's not something that you knew right from the beginning. I think that those skill set is also something that you discover along the way, what you're good at, what your interests are. So it happened to be that it works out really well, but that's also because you do teamwork and discovery and being very honest with each other.
No, for sure. We always say that learning is a work in progress at Brier. Every day we're learning, every day we're learning new things. Yeah. And we also say that these roles we have, like chief marketing officer, chief operating officer, these roles are only for name. It's not like I'm not contributing to finance or I'm not contributing to marketing, because we're so passionate about the concept and we're so passionate about the growth of Brier that we just try to contribute in whatever way possible. And more importantly, I think what works in the favor of this team is that we always know that we're friends first and colleagues after. That helps a lot in our coordination and team cohesion. So like an example could be like right now, this week is extremely busy for me in terms of my academics and my studies. So I can just go to my team and say that, hey, for this week, I'll be taking some downtime. I'll be focusing on my exams and studies. You three can up the ante and start, make sure that everything's going fine. And when I get done, I up the ante and the other person who's probably busy can take some downtime. Just being transparent and being honest with your team members and ensuring that your friendship's intact helps a lot in the cohesion and the coordination of the team. And as you said, like skills have been developed over time. We've learned a lot from each other. We've learned a lot from like our surroundings and our business situations. And I am a firm believer of the fact that I do not go to university for studying. I go to university for the experience of it, but the amount I learn from working on a company in real life, like be it marketing, be it negotiation, be it supply chain management, be it sourcing, anything is just much more valuable than whatever I would have learned in a university class. So I'm definitely learning more, and I can vouch my other co-founders will also say the same, that we learn a lot more from this business than compared to our university classes.
I'm sure that you learned a lot and I'm very impressed, but I also heard you saying that this is not your first company. So you already even had more companies. So you have this entrepreneurial spirit. Where is it coming from? Do you see that in your environment?
I'm a third generation entrepreneur. I come from a typical Indian business family. I have had three generations of my family only do business, different sorts of business, different sorts of entrepreneurship. So every dinner table conversation for me has always been about how a business can be started, how a business can be grown, and everything around that. I've been born and brought up with an entrepreneurial bug. And my entrepreneurial bug was actually tested for the first time. So when I was a teenager, so I started my first company when I was 14 years old. I launched one of India's first youth-led wealth management platforms for high school students. So I identified this problem of how high school students in India are not familiar with the concept of money, or rather we're inferior to the concept of money. But it was not the case with me, because my father has always inculcated the concept of like savings and, you know, earning money on your own and, you know, spending on your own. So he's always made me financially independent that way, but like other students were not. And that is why I launched my first company called High School Investors, where I used to go from like school to school in India and give seminars about how if you could save a bit of your pocket money or whatever allowance you get and invest it into mutual funds, what could be the return? So I did that for 3 years in high school. I sold the company when I was 17. So I had my first exit when I was in high school only. So that was my first company and first tryst with entrepreneurship. And then ever since then, I've launched two other companies. So Brio is actually my fourth startup right now. And along with Brio, I also run another company in India, which is called Rural Invest. And what Rural Invest done, it's basically an expansion of my passion of financial literacy, that when I was working on High School Investors, I also saw this problem of how India, there's this huge wealth inequality gap, like the rich is, you know, the rich is getting richer and the poor is getting poorer. And the poor population of India, the rural population of India, do not have much access to the financial markets. So at Rural Invest, we've created a wealth management platform. And what we're trying to do is that we're trying to make the Indian financial markets more accessible to the rural population of India. And we do that through microfinance. So like, rather than you investing, say, $100 into the stock markets, you can invest up to, say, $1 in the stock market as well. So it just brings a sort of financial security to these people who do not have any concept about it. That's something which I've always been passionate about. And I've worked with several other startups, helped with their business development, mentored a lot of startups. Most recently, I launched one of the world's largest entrepreneurship competitions for high school students called the Young Tycoons Business Challenge. And that was, again, because of my passion for experience the gains of high school entrepreneurship, that how rewarding high school entrepreneurship can be. I just know that high school students have a lot of potential, but they just don't have a platform to exercise that potential. I launched this competition in June of 2020 last year. And in the inaugural year of, you know, YTBC, we had around 7,000 applications from 20,000 students across 80 plus countries of the world. So it became a global competition within its first year. And we raised around $50,000 in sponsorship, gave away $10,000 in cash prizes. It became like a huge movement to foster youth entrepreneurship. And that's why I just say that entrepreneurship is what defines me. I live and breathe entrepreneurship. And that's why, and I always feel very passionate about social entrepreneurship. Like, I always believe that doing good is good for business. If you're not creating an impact by doing entrepreneurship, then I don't see entrepreneurship adding any value. Like, you have to create a change in society if you're becoming an entrepreneur. And that's just something what I feel extremely passionate about.
Wow, what a remarkable person you are. I hope that if this is the next generation, there's hope for the world. Yeah, really amazing. So yeah, it's a combination of your upbringing, personality, and amazing also that you are helping people in rural areas. I love that also that you're empowering young people to also think like you do. It has brought you a lot, probably. I completely agree with you that you give and then you will also receive automatically as well.
Oh, 100%. It's a mutual beneficial journey. The more I give, the more I get.
Wow. So when did you come to Hong Kong?
I've been born and brought up in India. So for my first 18 years of life have been in India only. I come from New Delhi, India. Coming from a very middle class, typical family background, like my family's always been in business, something which has always defined my family, because there's this community of Indians which are known for doing business. And we come from that typical community. Coming to Hong Kong, like, when I wanted to come to Hong Kong, my whole idea of coming to Hong Kong was only to pursue a better education. But more than education, I wanted to come to Hong Kong for the how and why of education rather than the what of education. So like, how education can add experience to my life, how I can use this education to create an impact. And more importantly, like, I wanted to come to Hong Kong to meet a set of people who think like me and who are as ambitious and passionate to create an impact like me. This was a very tear to the eye moment. I was leaving for Hong Kong and my father and I were having this sit down conversation, and he literally just one statement, and that still defines my whole experience in Hong Kong. He's like, Naman, you're going for an education, everything's good, but just remember that build a network in Hong Kong, because in the end, your network will define your net worth. So that's what I preach to do and practice in Hong Kong. Like for me, networking is something which comes generally. I love talking to people. I love meeting people. I love meeting like-minded people, but more importantly, people from like divergent interests, people who think differently and people who are trying to just create an impact in whatever walks of life. So in Hong Kong, that's all what I've tried to do in my last 3 years. So I came in 2019 in September. It's almost been November in 2021. So it's almost been 3 years in Hong Kong now. And I've met a lot of like-minded people, my co-founders at Breer, other entrepreneurs and people in different companies, people in different communities. It's been a very rewarding experience of being in Hong Kong for the last 3 years.
And for Breer, was it difficult during the pandemic or did it actually help you to launch this product?
I would say that the COVID-19 pandemic for Breer was both a boon and a bane. So I'd start with why it was a negative. So it was a negative because Hong Kong was severely affected by the pandemic and the restaurant industry or the brewing industry actually came to a still. So there was no alcohol sales happening, as a result of which all breweries were shut down. When we wanted to go out and test this product, it was very difficult for us because all breweries were shut down or were facing severe losses, which is why no brewery was willing to give us some space or experiment. So a bit of a background here. So what we do at Breer is that we don't have our own brewing facility, but we follow a model called contract brewing, where we work with breweries and these which have ideal capacity. And we license that ideal capacity out and make our beer using that capacity. But when these breweries were shut down or they were making severe losses, nobody was willing to do that at that point. And that delayed our launch to the market as a pilot product or as an MVP by more than 6 months because everything was shut down. So that was difficult. But at the same time, because everything went online, it became beneficial for Breer because we participated in a lot of competitions in that time and raised a substantial amount of seed fund for Breer. We still haven't till date raised any external money. We still own 100% of the company at Breer, haven't diluted the company at all. But even in that process, we've raised around $3 million only from competitions and grants. So by participating in so many competitions and government grants, we have been able to substantially sustain Breer and have this financial depth of...
How many sales points is Breer available?
For the whole of last year, actually, Breer has been doing a lot of these small batches to test the waters and start selling in a couple of stores. Mm-hmm. But it was only in August of 2021 when we did our first fully commercial batch of 4,000 liters of beer to supply to stores, bars, restaurants. We launched on the 28th of August in this year. And ever since then, from that date, we've started selling in around 35 to 40 stores in Hong Kong now. We're selling in some of the most famous craft beer bars in Hong Kong, like Kowloon Tap Room, Island Tap House, Second Draft, and Tap the Ale Project. So like one of all the famous craft beer bars in Hong Kong. And then even like for like bottle shops, we're selling in like HK Brewcraft and Craftismo, which are called like the meccas of craft beer in Hong Kong. So we hope to sell in around 100 stores by the end of this year.
Very exciting.
Procuring bread wasn't the difficult part, but getting in touch with these bakeries was obviously difficult and convincing them that we're not doing any ill harm with their bread and it's all being used for like a productive purpose, a purpose of circular economy, where we're going to use the bread to create a product out of it, which the whole economy can enjoy. Once we signed our contracts with them and got them on board, we just have a proper understanding now about how bread will come in, and then more than happy to assist and support in whatever ways and means.
What about the coming 10 years? The sky is the limit, probably. Do you have any idea where direction? What do you want to achieve in the coming 10 years for yourself?
For me, I don't believe sky is the limit. I don't believe that there is a limit because you set your limits every day. I see life in a very micro plus macro perspective. So I believe in setting both short-term and long-term goals. And my short-term goals is, okay, I want to achieve this in life. I want to achieve that in life. But my long-term goal is always just becoming a better version of myself. I recall this speech from like Matthew McConaughey when he was receiving his Oscar. This is just something which I truly embody, and I could resonate with him when he made the speech that, you know, my long-term goal is always becoming a gooder person in the next 5 years. And when the next 5 years come and I ask myself that am I even close? No, like I have to become even better. And because I just feel that life is a constant journey of improvement. If you think you're the smartest, you're in the wrong room always, because you can never be the smartest. More importantly, you have to constantly unlearn and learn new things. So that is why learning is even more difficult, because today I've learned something and the next 2 years I'll have to forget that and learn something else. So in the next 10 years, like the only tangible goal I have in my life is to create as much impact as possible. I feel very strongly about the aspect of sustainability today and the world we're living in and the generation we are. Honestly, I feel that, don't take it in any other way, but your generation has just given us a very poor environment to live in, or very poor world to live in. And your generation is not going to do anything about it. And it's the onus is only on our generation, is to make the generation, make the world better for us to live and exist in this world. Charity is good. I've worked with so many social organizations, but charity is good only until a certain extent. If you have to create revolutionary impact, it has to be driven by business. It has to be driven by the fundamental roots of any economy. That is why I see myself being an impact entrepreneur and creating impact with whatever I'm doing, be it in the field of sustainability, be it in the field of education, be it in the field of finance, but just driving sustainable impact and creating an impact in order to improve our community, improve the livelihood of the people who live around us. Social entrepreneurship is the future. Millennials are the next most generation. And when millennials go into a store, they don't go into buy a product, they go into buy a mission. So if your companies are not mission oriented, people are not going to give any heed to it. Your companies have to make an impact. Your business has to do good.
I can't wait to see where you're going. Your future is bright. Must be with such an attitude.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And Breer, is it going to conquer the world?
I mean, that the global domination is definitely one of our goals. Like, starting in Hong Kong, which obviously we were more familiar with, and we identified the problem here. But the problem of bread waste exists at a lot of places. And the reason why I say that Breer is suited for global expansion is because Breer will not only be limited to beer. Starting out with Breer is only our proof of concept that, you know, it's a proof of concept of the whole model of how a circular economy can flourish very well in a general setting of an economy. So right now we use bread to create beer out of it. But at Breer, we have a vision of creating a whole ecosystem of upcycling, where we want to use coffee to make beer out of it. We want to make fruit. We want to use fruit peels to make juices and seltzers out of it. We want to use spoiled milk to create apparel and merchandise out of it. We want to use the residue of the beer making process. So when you make beer, there's this residue called spent grain, which is left after making beer. I see Breer creating an impact through the model of circular economy, and the possibilities of that are endless. There's so much which can be made out of things which are supposedly waste. We just believe in the fact that every trash can be turned into a treasure. At least 30% of our funds are right now committed to research and development. We all have a research team which works on the aspect of building more and more recipes and identifying what can be done. So literally the other day we came across this idea and even a scientific theory behind it about how spoiled potatoes can be used to make vodka. The possibilities are endless. There's so much waste in the world, and waste, people say that data is the 8th wonder of the world. I would say that waste is the 9th wonder of the world. So there's so much value in waste. You just have to see it, appreciate it, and use it to make something better.
I agree with you. It's so bizarre how easy things are just being thrown away, and how things are just used for one time only and being put in the landfill to stay there forever and ever. It is a real disgrace. There's a lot of work to do, unfortunately. And hopefully my generation will still contribute on solving that problem. One is, what are you studying right now?
So I currently am studying, like I'm a third year student at HKUST. I'm doing a double degree in management and marketing.
So you really don't waste one second in your life
Oh,
and sacrificing some sleep, as I understand as well.
that's definitely in there. Like I've basically become like a person whose body clock is adjusted to a 3 or 4 hour sleep
Oh,
cycle now. I don't
wow.
get to sleep more than that. But it's just a part of me right now that even on Sundays, even on Saturdays, I'm hustling. Like I don't see the concept of breaks or weekends. I just want to hustle as much as possible,
I'm
to be
not in a place
modest.
to advise you, but the health is very important. Don't get burned up too quickly because that would be really a big waste. And one that we may not be able to upcycle. So, and where to find your product? The 35 point, you mentioned already the breweries. Is it also available online?
Yeah, users can order our beer by just going on our website, brewer.com.hk. And other than that, we're selling in a lot of other online stores as well. And at the same time, we're selling in a lot of physical stores as well. We have this map, or on our Instagram, we post regularly about the places we sell in. So it's an appeal to whoever will listen to this podcast that go buy out our beer, give us the feedback about you like it or you hate it. Even if you hate it, we want your feedback so that we can improve our products for the next line of products.
Thank you so much for your time and for your explanation. And yeah, really big applause to you. Keep
No,
up.
thank you so much, Joy, for having me. Like you're doing this podcast to create a larger impact in society is just linked with my mission of creating as much impact as possible. So I loved having the conversation. I love talking to you about everything. I hope that whoever listens to this podcast benefits a bit from it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much too, Naman. Hey, Martin, good to have you
Hey,
here.
hello, hello, morning, morning.
How are you?
Fine, but busy recently because, as you know, I'm a current PhD student, but I need to spend some time on my startup, Icewear Cool, to promote the cooling technologies developed in the laboratory to make it to be affordable for everyone. So
Oh, so
my
is
time
it
is a
one of,
bit tight.
sorry, so the hurdle is to make it affordable.
Because as you know, the price of the technologies in the laboratories are always not cheap. One of our major work is to make the cost lower, much lower than that in the laboratory, such that everyone can afford it, can buy the materials or can buy the product, such that the technologies can really be beneficial to the world instead of just staying in the laboratory.
Okay, so maybe go back to the product, to the basic. So I understand it's a paint and it has a cooling effect. So if you put it on a building, then it will save on energy cost because you will need less air conditioning because it's cooling, right?
This is actually one of my PhD study direction, which is to develop an electricity-free cooling materials. As you said, the material is just need to paint on the roof or external walls of the buildings, such that the cooling power can generate and cool the buildings to save the energy for the air conditioning. And because Hong Kong is a very hot and humid city, we need to spend a lot of energy in air cooling each year. So if there's a technology to reduce the AC energy consumption, it would be great for both our economic and environment. So that's why in the laboratory, we develop such a technology to reduce the AC energy. Back to the materials, actually, it is a bio-inspired material. In the Sahara Desert, there's an ant that can survive in a super hot environment. That's because of the skin. Their skin has some very special structure that can generate a cooling to cool their skin. That's why the animal can survive in the Sahara Desert. So inspired by this structure, we integrate into our paint material to make it has the function of self-cooling, such that we can apply on the buildings to reduce the AC energy consumption. Because when the whole building is cooler, then you don't need to turn the AC to a very low temperature, then you can still feel very comfortable, such that you can save the electricity.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So it's inspired by an animal. And you found this during, because you're doing a PhD.
Yeah,
Yeah, what kind of
I'm
PhD?
studying I'm studying a PhD in energy and environment in the City University of Hong Kong, in the School of Energy and Environment. So my supervisor is Dr. Edwin Cho, and he focuses on building energy saving technologies. Actually, this all the concept is one of his research ideas to convert the technology into some usable or useful products that can be applied in the reality. So actually, apart from the cooling materials, my PhD also focuses on other kinds of technologies, such as enhancing the condensation on the air conditioning coils to enhance the system efficiency. But basically, all the things we do in the laboratory are related to building energy saving, but use different methods.
Oh, wow. Very necessary also nowadays. And how, but when you have this solution or you an invention, basically, how come that you decide to make it your own company and go commercial with it yourself instead of selling the technology to big companies?
That's a very good question. One of our major work is to convert the invention in the laboratory into the daily product. So that's the main purpose of forming this startup. Secondly, because as CTU recently promoted a Hong Kong Tech 300 program, that is to encourage the students and the professor to form a business together to convert the technologies in the lab to products. That's quite fit with our area. We follow the instruction or suggestions by the CTU, and then we formed this called I2Cool. And afterwards, we also use the startup and technology to participate in many different competitions, such as the climate action recognition. And we are actually the winners of the same competition. And after that, we also participated in many different competitions, such as the China Maker. That is a competition formed by the Hong Kong government and also co-organized by the central government of China. In these competitions, we can present our ideas to many different panel members, because the panel members are not only for the professional or the doctors from the university. Some of them are from the industry or from any other sectors of the society, but they may focus more on the applied aspects of your technology. So that's really helped us to fine-tune our research plan in the university, because in the lab, we may always focus on some very specific performance. For example, the cooling material in my group, we focus on the performance, like the reflection or emission. But in the reality, the customer may just don't care about this kind of performance. They may just care about the durability, the cooling performance, and or whether your material can be used in what kind of material, such as our Arduino paint. So they may concern whether this paint can be applied on the roof of the concrete or just can be applied on the metal roof, and many different kinds of this looks like a small questions, but this question actually are visual for us to fine tune our research to make our product better to be used in the reality. So I think forming a startup is not only just to earn money or just to convert a technology, but also to learn something from the customers, from the society, to make our research better.
That's really great. But it must be very challenging to do a PhD and also to be a startup entrepreneur. Both are separately already a full-time job. So how do you do
it? Actually, because I'm already in the fourth year of my PhD study, I've already done most of my jobs above my thesis. So basically, I can spend more time in the knowledge transfer part, which is the startup, which is fine for me, because I will graduate soon, maybe mid next year. This is also a practice for me before leaving the university to have some practice in the society, to say not just practice myself, but also practice the product or the technologies developed in the lab. Because before going into the market, we never know a specific technology can survive or can be accepted by people. So I think this is a very good practice for us to verify our idea is really good or can be beneficial to the society.
And of this process, which part was really hard for you?
One of the most challenging parts should be making the cost low. Because in the laboratory, we use some lab-grade material, which has a high purity, such that we can make some very good performance product. But in the reality, if you set the price too high, people may don't buy it because they think the benefit they get from the product cannot compensate the cost. We need to search many different suppliers to find some cheaper materials that can be larger scale produced, but still can have a good in the final product. So we need to have a lot of, to do a lot of trials to select the suppliers, to combine them together to have a good, but also cheap product. In the reality, people may just don't focus on the performance, like the cooling. They may also focus on some other issues, such as the durability, or environmental parameters, such as the VOC, like the odors, some other appearance of the product. Because in the first generation of our product, where we only have the white option, the color white, because white is the best for reflection to generate the cooling. But people may dislike white paint. They may want some colorful painting. We also spend some time in doing the research to see how to display color without sacrificing. But this is another very challenging mission for us to do. But we did it. I think in the coming 2 to 3 years, we will have more different products instead of just the white paint. The first generation, we will have more color choices, or even have a choice for the customer to choose. Let's say have a paint that can change the color in cold temperature. Let's say in winter, the paint can turn to a black color to absorb the solar heat to keep the house warm. But in summer, it can turn white automatically to reflect the solar to generate cooling, to have more different functions. And also we will put forward something like the ceramic tiles, because maybe not all the people like the painting. Some of them may like the ceramic tiles. So we will also have the cooling ceramic. And also, we can also turn the material into textile, the fibers, such that we can make the cooling clothes or even the cooling mask, such that when the people just wear the clothes or wear the mask, when they walk outside, they can feel cool. This is the third point, is to develop some new product. This is also challenging. I think we will continue to spend more time in doing the research to have some new products in the future. Although the challenge of making the cost lower or making different colors have been solved, but in the future, I believe there were more challenges are waiting for us. So we will spend more effort in the R&D in the future, not only just the commercial.
But at least you have a lot of ideas already. Walking around with cooling clothes, that sounds amazing. And I think that winning some brands and some prizes will have given you budget to do more research in this respect to develop new products.
So currently we have gotten 3 seed funds. One is the Climate Action Competition, as I mentioned. And the second one is the Hong Kong Tech 300 program by CTU, and the third one is the ideation program by the Hong Kong Science Park. Because at this moment, we all are just do the startup in a part-time scale. After my graduation, I and another postdoc group will run the company in a full-time mode. And after that, we will go into the Hong Kong Science Park to apply for their incubation program. And at that moment, we can get more resources to develop our new products and extend our business. And we are also open for some venture capital. Actually, we are discussing with a few of them. Some are from mainland China, and some of them are some local venture capitals in Hong Kong. And they would also like to support our research, but are still under discussion. And apart from the funding, we also sell the product, right? To sell the product and to have some revenue, such that we can use the money to further develop new products and extend the business. And we recently are collaborating with some developers, such as the China Cram Group, a group plan to use our cooling material in the central market project. On the roof, the market has 2 equipment rooms, so they will use the coating on one of the rooms to test the performance and use another one as a comparison to verify our cooling materials. Another one is they would like to use our material in some high-speed railway station in China to test our cooling performance.
If you look back, how long are you actually developing this project? How much time was involved?
Our company was registered in June this year. Yes. Five months ago. In the past 5 months, me and also our team spent a lot of effort to develop the product and to present to any different people who are interested in our materials. I think we grow very quickly in the past few months, but if we want the company in a full-time mode, we will grow even more faster. I believe before the end of next year, we will achieve a very large scale manufacturing because we are now discussing with a few manufacturers in the Greater Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And we are also collaborating with some suppliers to give us the materials to do the manufacturing. After the mid next year, we will quickly expand our not only in Hong Kong, but also in China or even to the Southeast Asia in the future because they are also very hot and humid. They are also, our material can also be suitable in that kind of cities.
But the product was already developed in the lab before June.
Our technology actually were studied 6 years ago. When we were still in HKUST before coming to CTU, we have started the research to turning the Sahara iron structure into the cooling materials. So we spent a lot of time before doing the commercialization. We chose this year to commercialize that we found our technology is mature enough.
And what went smoothly looking back at the journey?
More easy than I expected. Yeah. I think nothing is easy. When before I joined the startup, I can't imagine that we can really have some real collaborators from the market. But we did it. We are very happy to see that someone is willing to buy our materials. That's what we can't expect to happen in this year. But before December, now it's November, we have already confirmed two business partners that are willing to pay to buy our materials, not only for free to try. We are very happy to see this, and we will, like I say, continue to find more partners in that.
I can imagine that was a really happy moment for you and the team when that happened.
Yeah.
It becomes like a reality. So take it out of the lab and into the real world, and it's really needed and it really has value. So it's like a result for your hard work. That is really great. And you're saying, so you're already knowing when you're graduating, you're going to go full time in a science park here in Hong Kong. And fast forwarding 10 years from now, what do you foresee for the future? For my future?
I think I will always doing the same business as now, which is to promote the cooling technologies to reduce the building energy saving, to achieve the goal of carbon neutrality. I think for my startup, I think we will have more products, as I mentioned, different colors, different texture, ceramic cooling in the coming 3 to 5 years. And after that, we will extend our technology or our business to more different aspects, such as using some AI technologies to control the chiller in the buildings, to combine with our cooling materials developed in the first 3 to 5 years, such that the building energy can be further reduced. And we can also use our technologies to promote the concept of smart city, not only in a single building, but use our cooling technologies to the whole city to mitigate the heat island effect or to save the energy in a larger scale. So I think in the later 5 years, we will extend our business to a wider aspect, to further promote the energy saving, not only in a building, but for a city or even for a nation or China, to help our country to achieve the goal of carbon neutrality. Some of my own targets, which is to reduce the energy. Consumption.
There's a lot of work to do indeed, but a lot of opportunities as well indeed in that respect. And what about your team? How many people are involved with the startup?
Now, currently, we have three PhD students, one of them, and one postdoc in our group. I think four of us did some research before to have the product. And in the future, I think for the commercialization, mainly me and also the postdoc in our group will engage in it because the other two students are still under the studying progress of the PhD. So they still need some time to graduate. I think after the mid next year, mainly I and the postdoc will operate that.
So that's exciting. So next year you will be a full-time entrepreneur. Last but not least, where can people find information about your product and your company?
We are now constructing our website. So you can't find our main page at the current stage, but you can find our official account on Instagram, on LinkedIn, and also on YouTube. We post some videos to introduce our technology. People can just search i2cool. I is the intelligent eye, 2 is 12342, and cool is just the cool. So they can find us on some social media platforms, and also can search my contact on LinkedIn. And also if people who are interested in our technology or interested in collaborating with us, they can contact me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Really great product. And I like the company name as well. It's
cool.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds cool. Yes, thank you so much, Martin, for explaining. And I expect a lot of great things from you. So I'll keep an eye on you and maybe interview you a couple of years later to see how it's going.
So cool. Oh, thank you, Ms. Choi. So I hope to see you a few years later.
Thank you, Martin, and good luck with everything.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, hi, Neil and Noel. Great to have you here. How are you today?
We're doing great. Thanks for having us today.
Where are you?
Great.
So Neil is in the industrial building, like at our office. So he is the one who focused on developing the product and also doing some testing on the product. And I'm mainly located in the office that I usually do a marketing and also do some business developments of our product.
Oh, tell us first about your product.
Our product, it's a powder form cleaning solutions, and our company name is called Define Clean. So it's a social startup that we focus on pen-based powder cleaning products without single-use plastic packaging. We have seen lots of cleaning products in the market that were using one-time or single-use plastic packagings, and we really don't like it. So we want to have this product to help eliminate the transportation of, for example, water in the cleaning product, because water is actually considered 90% of cleaning product in the general market. So our product, it's basically a powder form cleaning products. Once the consumer buy it, they can simply add tap water on the water, and then they can use it on their home, their offices. And we started our business late last year during COVID time, and we are ready to launch hopefully before Christmas.
Oh, that's very exciting. How did you get to that idea?
That's a very good question, because I think all remember and we all in Hong Kong experienced that, because last year around March when the COVID break out, and we've seen a lot of people were lining up at drugstore or pharmacies trying to get like cleaning product. To be honest, we are one of them. We're one of them who are lining up and was trying to buy the cleaning product. And we have seen a lot of people, a lot of shop, unfortunately, they jack up the price because of the demand and supply. And people worry they wouldn't get cleaning product. So they buy a lot of cleaning product at once. So we have thought about, hey, lots of family in Hong Kong, those cleaning product would take up a lot of space in the home. Living space isn't that much in Hong Kong for lots of household. Mm-hmm. So one is money, one is place, another one is safety, because lots of this cleaning product contain chemical ingredients, which is not like sometimes not very good for especially pets or babies. And the very last thing, it's about the single-use plastic, because all this cleaning product, it's actually inside a plastic bottle. So what can we do? So Neil and I was thinking, like, how can we solve all this problem with layer solutions? And that's how we came up. We have tried lots of different solutions, and we turned out to develop this powder that people can just add water and we fill in their reusable, you know, bottles or any spray bottle that you might have before. And then you have your cleaning product. So that will help you to save a lot of spray. It will be much cheaper because the transportation cost is much cheaper. We make in Hong Kong, we don't have to transport all the way from another part of the world to Hong Kong. And it also is pen-based, so it's also very safe as well.
Oh, okay. But like you're saying, a lot of people are lined up to buy the products, but you come up with this brilliant idea. How come that you have this approach? Are you familiar with this kind of product, or are you researching things? What is the background?
We actually came from FMCG background, so the fast-moving consumer goods background.
Mm-hmm.
We've been like, I myself, it's in the marketing and sales side. So I do a lot of marketing and selling on this kind of product for almost a decade now. It's on the supply chain side. He know about how to manage the inventory and how to take good care of those this kind of products. We don't have any chemical background, and that's the point. But fortunately, we have an advisor who is a PhD in chemistry, and he helped us to develop a lot of formula and give us a lot of advice on how to start it. And we also did a lot of research ourselves, and that's how we started.
So now you're an expert in this. I heard from other entrepreneurs that they also learn a lot through Google and YouTube videos. Do you have the same experience?
We do. We have watched, I think Neil can talk a bit more on that too. Like, we watch lots of YouTube video. We actually study very deeply on each ingredients, where, like, how did it, what kind of pros and cons of that ingredient. So we are, I would say we're like half expert now.
For me, I use the traditional way to do it because I also is a business analyst. So I go to the supermarket and find all the cleaning products. And then I write down the ingredients on the labels. And then I type it on the Excel. And then I find the most common ingredients. And then I test it one by one, which can dissolve in the water if in a few minutes. Yeah.
Well, you guys did quite a quick job because it's from in less than 2 years. It's almost ready to launch. That's a very exciting period. Is it you still have your jobs on the side or your studies on the side?
I still have my job so that we can fund the company. Neil is actually working full time on it right now. Like, so you can see how we dedicate into this startup and how confidence that we have in our products and our visions. So Neil is working full time on it, developing the product and also getting ready to launch before Christmas.
So you're working together on this. So the tasks are divided, that Neil is doing the research and you're doing more the marketing side.
Correct. So I'm doing like marketing. We started our social network last month. So we start getting some prepare to get the work out, to tell our story. So it's really a great opportunity to having us here today to talk to the audience about our visions and how we started and who we are.
Yes. And who you are, I find it also quite unique that you are actually brothers. And working on this together as a team that is like a whole each other for most part of your life. And now you're going to do this kind of project together. How is it to work together?
It's actually great. Sometimes we know a lot of startups. Like, we know a lot of startups, they unfortunately they fail because they have some conflict between partners. And being a brother, we know each other. I don't want to disclose my age, but we know each other for over 20 something years now. And we know each other very well. And the great part is we both have the same vision. So when we came up with this idea, like, we were like talking about sustainability. It's very important, and we think it's the future and how we can do better to eliminate CO2, eliminate plastic pollutions. And once we talk about it, we just match. We feel like, hey, we're thinking in the same way, then why not we start a business on this? So like I know the audience who listen to this podcast wouldn't be able to see us, but Neil is actually much taller and, you know, much stronger than me. So lots of people thought he's their elder brother, but actually I'm the older brother.
So that's funny. Neil, is it like, is he acting as an older brother, or is it quite equally divided, the task and the say in what is next?
But we do allocate our job in a very good way. So fair way, exactly.
It says the older brother, but what is the younger brother saying about this?
It depends on what we are talking about. If formula on in terms of formula research, then Neil has the final say on this. In terms of marketing packagings, and I have the final say. And Neil can add on. Sorry.
I think it's quite easy because my brother has some startup experience on it, so he can help me a lot in many places, just like how to focus on it. And also because just the way of say. He is focused on the sales and marketing. So he was responsible for the social media account, just like Facebook, Instagram. So I do not need to worry about that. I can concentrate to do our research on the developing our products and also maybe get some funding from the.
How's the funding going? You guys want some subsidies and grants?
We do. So we join quite a lot of competitions, not just because we need the funding, but we also want to get more advice from different parties to further develop our product. So we do get some funding from World Food Social Enterprise. And later on, like earlier this year, we got funding from Science Park as well. Mm-hmm. So we are able to rent an office. We are able to start our manufacturer site to start doing some R&D and also actual productions.
Oh, okay. That's great. And how come that you both are so entrepreneurial? How's that triggered or what inspired you?
I think it's the family background. Would you agree, Neil? Our parents, our grandparents, they were all doing like business. Although it's not the same type of business, it really inspired us to join in this like entrepreneurial, I would say. We feel really good about having some products that were able to help people, were able to help the society. And then that's why we decided to start this.
Yeah. Okay. And so far, what went very smoothly?
So far, nothing went very smoothly. Everything is very hard, very tough. It's tougher than we thought. We developed the way, like both me and Neil are really looking for a perfect formula, I would say. Really looking for something that people would love the first time they use it. So we spend quite a lot of time, even though we find, for example, one ingredient that we might be able to use, we would do more research and see if there's any better alternative. So that's part we spend quite a lot of time. For packaging, I can't even remember how many times we have talked to the designer to revise the packaging to ensure that all the safety labels, all the wordings, graphic on the packaging is attractive enough to get people to try it and to buy it.
Okay. So tough journey until now. Is there anything that you can name as the most difficult part?
What would you say, Neil?
Just a little while says everything is quite difficult for us. Just how to develop our powders, the powder form printing powders. First of all, after 1 year, I think it's almost 1 year of the studies and hundreds of the experiments, and we still face some minor problems, just like some ingredients cannot dissolve after a few hours even. And also maybe, and then luckily, fortunately, we meet our advisor, Dr. Matthew Wong, with a chemical background, and then they help us to, we give so many advice and then how to redirect our formula, and then we solve this problem finally. And also another is how to do our packaging, because we have some refill pack. It is made of by the paper, and also we have some refill box. It's made of another material, and then there's some printing problem. When we send AI file to our manufacturer, they print the file on our refill box and refill pack. Is it some color difference? There is a big color difference. Some is maybe our kitchen printer is in the pink color. They print it always at dark and all and others. So we need to raise spend a lot of the time to communicate with different manufacturer, try one and to tune the color.
I can imagine you have to micromanage everything basically.
It is. There's a lot of unexpected things that come out. But I think that's part of doing business. Every day we're trying to solve problems, and that's what we do.
But it's great to have to continue with that and to have this mindset now that every problem that comes your way, you have to try to solve it.
Exactly.
And you did, because now it's going to be launching before Christmas, you're even saying. So that's pretty quickly. How will it be offered to the public? Is it you have sales points or are you going to be online?
So that's a very good question. We're going to do both. So we will have our website, but we will add purchasing page on the website. So people can buy our trial pack that will contain four different. First is multi-purpose cleaner. And then second is the bathroom cleaner. Third is the grass cleaner. And then the last one is the kitchen cleaner. So people can buy all four refill pack in one set. And for another way, it's we are going to have some, like right now it's very famous or very popular. Over the weekend, you see lots of startup where they were having booth in shopping mall or some market.
Mm.
We'll start selling that product as well. The reason why we're doing that, because our concept, it's relative new. So a lot of people didn't understand how you can add water into powder and to use it as a cleaning powder. So we really want to have more interaction with our potential consumer. And that's why we will do it that way.
Well, I can't wait to try. Happy also to purchase a test kit, because like you're saying, homes are small in Hong Kong, so it's great to have cleaning products that takes less space and is also environment friendly and less damaging. It sounds like a perfect product to use. And I can imagine that it was quite difficult to get to this point. So there's high expectations will happen. And I guess that you guys didn't really get a lot of sleep in the past months, or is not that?
It depends. All these things that came up, it usually came up unexpectedly. So when it came to this point, then we have to spend a bit more time. We're going to work overtime on this. Usually we manage our time, I would say, pretty well. We ensure that we allocate our time in different part of the business, because doing a business, unlike doing a corporate job, you're not just focusing on one area, but you have to do a little bit of everything. You have to take care of marketing, finance, packaging, talking to supplier, talking to your potential customer, basically like everything. And that's why we will have to really allocate our time to ensure that we can do everything properly.
But let's take a look in the future, 10 years from now, what is your product doing, or what are you doing?
We would like to have 10 years from now, we would like to have more different kind of product, not just the four that I just named, but we are able to, basically, we want to have every household will have one of our products at least. And we also want to sell it to businesses as well, because other than household, we know offices, we know a lot of our sport center or government buildings, they need a lot of cleaning products as well. And imagine if everyone can start using powder form cleaning product, it's going to save a lot of plastic bottle. Mm. It's going to save a lot of pollutions and also eliminate a lot of CO2 as well. So that's what we want to do 10 years from now.
Okay. And what will you do? This is a difficult question. What will you do if a big company is approaching you and wants to take over your brand?
That's a very good question. I think our vision right now, it's really want to promote this whole new concept.
Mm.
So it really depends if the brand want to approach us and buy our brand, it's because they want to have more people to know about this concept and they are able to scale up the whole thing. Then I think this might not be a bad thing, because it's going to help more people. For us, we might only able to focus on the Hong Kong market right now, and hopefully a few years later we're able to in different markets. But if our very large scale company they approach us, they might be able to help us to spread out the products too.
That is indeed a good thing. Okay, and last but not least, where can they find your products?
Yes, so you can go on to our website www.defineclean.co. Or you can visit us on our social network, because as I just mentioned, we are going to launch very soon in December. You can follow up closely, you know, follow our page, give us a, and once our product is ready to launch, then you will be able to know. So our company name again is Define Clean. So D-E-F-I-N-E, Clean, C-L-E-A-N. So look us up on social network and we will keep you posted.
Very exciting, guys. Then wishing you a lot of luck with the launch, and I will keep a close eye and interview you in a couple of years to see how successful you have become.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your support. Hopefully we talk to you in a few years and our product will be everywhere in Hong Kong.
That would be great. Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.